When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome or welcome back to I'll Be Your Sister, a weekly podcast hosted by me, Ellie Zeiler. This is a new way of us filming the podcast, basically to set the scene. Usually when I record my podcast, it's at a specific time, 10 a.m. I have Jason on the line. I have maybe my mom on the line. And I have a lot of notes, but this morning I woke up in just a really bad, down, overwhelmed mood, which I honestly really dislike even complaining about things like this because it's just so not a big deal on the grand scheme of things. But again, to continue setting the scene, I sat in bed for like an hour reading this book, scrolling Instagram comments, was just in, again, the worst mood. Yesterday, I posted a Q&A on my Instagram story because I wanted this episode to be kind of a Q&A, which I will do on next week's episode. But a lot of the comments were saying, how do you deal with so much hate on the internet, especially for talking about being Jewish and anti-Semitism and Israel and everything like that? How do you deal with posting about that and seeing all of this hate and continuing? And I am going to be honest, not to toot my own horn, but I do think I do a pretty good job of like continuing and keeping going, but it does definitely tend to catch up with me at some points, especially when, I don't know, I've just been feeling very overwhelmed about life recently and all of it. So again, setting the scene, I was in bed and then I came upstairs and my mom came in the room from her morning walk and hugged me, and she could tell I was just in the worst mood ever. And she started giving me advice, which is usually what she does, and it actually helped me a lot. So I said, instead of recording at 10 a.m. like we do and having it be really set up, should we just go downstairs and talk it out and give some Sarah Zeiler Jewish mama therapy? So without further ado, my mom is sitting next to me. It feels really weird. I haven't introduced you yet, but hi, mom.
Hi.
What's honey. Your name?
Hi. It's Sarah.
Sarah's back on the podcast. I don't know if you guys have listened to her before in last season of the podcast or if you've watched her amazing TikToks or followed her, but she is full of advice. You actually started giving some mom advice on Mom Talk recently. Do you want to talk about that and like what inspired you?
Sure. I mean, I think like you've said something to me many, many times and to a lot of people, and it ties into this topic of dealing with hate and, you know, taking a, I suppose, a stand, not even a stand, but representing who you are proudly and sticking with it and what you deal with. And you've always said, what do I have a platform for if I can't use it for good? What's the point of having all these people follow me on social media if I'm not sharing something that is meaningful and important to me and therefore translates into hopefully being important to other people? And you've really found that place with being, as I call it, proudly Jewish on the internet, which is a very, prior to October 7th was a scary, not scary, but it was considered somewhat controversial. We still, you know, as Jewish people, we don't understand that. We don't know why by being openly or proudly Jewish, it somehow causes you to get hate from people who blame you for something that you have really nothing to do with. But I, back to the original point, was I have this TikTok following because obviously of your career, and, you know, I've gained like a following, and I post. Initially, I started posting because I wanted to really understand it, because you were so entrenched in it, and like we were all like encouraging you and coaching you, and we were like, you should post this and you should make a TikTok about this. That's what happens when you are a social, when you work in social media, everyone in your life tells you what you should post about, especially when you're young, but everyone's always giving you ideas. And so I think about 6 or 8 months into you being on TikTok, which has now been over 4 years, I started posting on occasion just to kind of understand it. And it comes with a lot of vulnerability. But back to, again, the point is I recently decided to start talking about the more in-depth and deep thoughts and, you know, things I've learned, things that I've experienced as a mom. The majority of my followers now that I've kind of continued to grow it are women around my age, definitely in the mom age range. And they're, you know, open to my experiences. And so I'll share my opinions. I'll share what I've learned. I mean, everything I've learned has been through the hard way in many cases because I don't have a mom, but that's my mom talk contribution.
I love it. So basically, I again, going back to the original story, I woke up and I deal with this, not deal with this a lot, but I think that with my mom kind of validating how I've been feeling, I feel like other people go through it as well, where as a young person, I think that we just carry so much stress and anxiety all the time of being like, what are we going to do with our lives constantly? And it's funny because even my dad, people always say like, oh, you never want to grow up, or like when you're young, like enjoy the young years while you can. And I always ask my dad, and he always says, I would never want to go back to that time. Like that time of my life when I was young and a teenager and a 20-year-old was just filled with so much anxiety of like, what am I going to do? How am I going to find a family? How am I going to find a job? How am I going to like build my life to what he wanted it to be? And I think that like that is very much how I was feeling. And then also going on the internet this morning and just all of the things, like comparing yourself while also getting beat up by these commenters, it's all kind of hard. So you talked to me yesterday about how you were going to make like a mom talk about how no one really cares that much about you. And I think that it's funny because I was actually listening to another podcast yesterday called The Skinny Confidential, which had the founder of It Cosmetics on it. And she basically was talking about self-doubt and how a lot of the things that you combat your mental health with are things that you thought about growing up and like that you were taught growing up. And so I think you can even hear it just going back 5 minutes when I was talking about this, where I was talking about my issues, but I instantly combat that sentence with like, but it's not that big of a deal because no one actually cares that much. And I think that I learned that from you, Mom, and that sounded really harsh, but like I'd really like to have you kind of explain that. I really need a pep talk right now, Mom. So well, what were you going to tell your mom talk? Because I really needed to listen to it this morning.
Well, I think when it comes, we'll focus specifically on what you woke up feeling like and what happened yesterday. Yesterday, you were like, I'm so sick of my phone. I'm sick of reading it. It's I'm sick of looking at it. Like, everything I'm taking in. And a lot of times that comes from, that really, to me, seems to hit you on the days when you're just trying to be, we'll call it normal, where you're just trying to have a normal, everyday type of experience. You're trying to enjoy whatever it is that you have around you, be in the moment, and then you open your phone and you look at all these random, hateful messages. And listen, I mean, your situation and your position working on social media is not like everybody else's. And I think that that's okay to acknowledge. I think your tendency to be like, but it's not that bad. Obviously, especially when you're talking about things like when you're sharing about being Jewish or Israel, you're like, they're girls my age being held hostage and tortured right now. There are teen girls in that region that have lost everything. And So you always try to downplay your own feelings by saying like, oh, it's not that bad, which is true to a certain degree. It's like, it's okay to feel, be in a bad mood. It's also not productive to indulge it for long because it, when you put your life into perspective, it's all going to be okay.
But it's when it builds up.
It's when it builds up, and it's when you're feeling the most vulnerable or the most scared that those comments or that type of energy just really hurts and it really starts to mess with you. And I think that the notion of nobody really cares is one of those things that I say every time I tell people that I have told my kids since they were in middle school. I think it was about when you guys got into middle school. Mm-hmm. My classic line is, you know how you think about yourself all the time? So does everybody else. And that doesn't stop even when you become an adult. Like, and I said to you yesterday, you know how you think about yourself all the time? So does everybody else. And in fact, even if you, they are actually thinking about you, they're not actually thinking about you as a person and what you're doing or what your life is. They're thinking about something that you said or did and how it makes them feel.
Which really hit home because I feel like I don't go online and look at people's content and ever judge them. Like, I'm never being like maybe for a second I'll be like, oh shoot, like, but it's never, first of all, it's not like in a hateful way, but I'll just be like, oh wow, she's really pretty. And then it instantly like reflects on myself, like, oh, why am I not feeling that
exactly
way? You know what I mean?
That's such a good way of explaining it, because that's not even like when you post something and it bothers other people.
Yeah.
And they say something. First of all, I mean, we could dedicate a whole other episode on the type of people that comment hate comments.
We have to do that.
Imagine being the type of person that comments something mean, ridiculing, or hateful. In my whole life, like, obviously, I've seen plenty of things that you disagree with or that bother you.
To write something publicly is crazy, though.
It's like, what does that say about you? But that's a whole other topic. But what you just said is the way, it's so true. You just explained it. You look at somebody's, you have an opinion. If the opinion is that they look great or pretty or like they're having the time of their lives or they're doing something so cool, it has nothing to do with you judging that person or ridiculing that person for being that way or doing those things. It's like, oh, that, how does that make me feel? Which goes back to supporting my point, is that nobody really cares about you. And that sounds really harsh. It feels really cold. It feels really lonely. Obviously, it doesn't apply to the people that are genuinely in your life, like your family and your closest friends. We do care about you, and we do love you, and we want the best for you, and we worry about you, and we have opinions about you. All of that comes in one dish. But I think having to wake up, go on the internet, it sort of reminds me, I liken it to my experience at right around your age when I moved to New York City. This just kind of came to me. But I used to say that in any given day, I witness and experience more in the morning before I get to my desk and get to work. I witness and experience more than the majority of people experience and witness in a whole year of their life. Like, walking down the streets of New York, it's like defensive moving. You're like tripping over things. You're bumping into people. It's loud. It's noisy. People are yelling. People are doing their own thing. People are looking at you. People are, you know, whatever. Like, you see sometimes horrible things, filthy things, scary things. And that's a lot of stimulation. And I kind of feel like opening our phones in the morning and looking at social media. And for you, in your position where thousands of people are commenting on what you're putting out there hour to hour, it's a lot. It's a lot of stimulation. And how you separate the two is, it's a full-time job and it's a lot of work. Protecting yourself is a lot of work, but it also goes back to being your age and being young and how much work that is and what Papa said.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. I just feel like, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to this that are listening to the podcast, with just, like, the being so overwhelmed to be so young and just, like, the question of always, like, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to get to a point that, like, I know I can get to? But there was also something else that I thought about that I think will make other people feel better, because it made me feel better just thinking about it, is that TikTok sound that I made a while ago that was like, you never are like going to a pool and see someone in a bathing suit and think about them like literally 5 minutes later. It even goes back to high school. Like, I remember walking into high school and feeling so vulnerable and so scared, and even going to school now and walking in public, I feel like so, like, oh my gosh, everyone's looking at me. But it really is, have you ever asked yourself, like, do you even remember one person that you've seen in public or at school? Like, at this point, mm-hmm. I've graduated 2 years later. I can't even think about, like, half the people that I saw every single day for 4 years in school.
It's so true. It's so true. There's right around, it's the whole, like, middle school through a young adulthood when all of this stuff starts happening. I also remember being younger, being a teen and, you know, preteen, early teens, all throughout my, mid-20s, is you do think for some reason, maybe early 20s, you think everybody's looking at you.
So
I don't know
true.
Why. Like, you think everybody's looking at you and judging you and forming an opinion about you.
So true. Well, I feel like as a young woman, though, you also really can feel that way.
I think boys
around.
Are the same. I mean, that's why even this weekend when you guys were going to that tennis tournament, and I said to your brother, like, try to check being self-conscious, because he is a teenage boy. And I think that this applies to just being a young person. And, you know, I think it more, all of it equals just being self-conscious and being nervous and being scared, right? And feeling just like really vulnerable, because the older you get, the more independent you become, the more out in the world you become, the more exposed you are, and you feel like there's nobody around you to really protect you. And I think, though, if you can just sadly just like get over yourself and get over and do the things that you're saying right now, which is like turn it back to you and say, do I judge anybody else? Am I looking at anybody else? Am I thinking twice about the people that I see at the beach or at the movies or in the airport? Never, never,
never,
never, ever, ever.
Why do I feel so self-conscious in the airport? I don't know.
Everybody does. I don't know what it is.
So then going back to what we were originally talking about, what would your like advice be for the way that I woke up this morning feeling not just about the hate, but how did you deal with feeling so overwhelmed and not letting it, like, paralyze you when you're young with, like, knowing what you want to do when you grow up? Like, do you remember how I'm feeling right now of, like, being young and being like, what the...
How am I
going to get to, like, being older?
I do. And I think that the wild part about being young and being in your 20s is that life just kind of happens and time kind of flies by. Keep in mind, and I don't want to sound like a granny by saying this, but we did not have social media dictating even the type of life that we thought we wanted to live. I mean, you're in a different situation now, because the whole internet represents the look of what you aspire to, you know, we choose the things that we look at that feel really aspirational. And we're like, if it doesn't look like that, I don't know how that I'm going to equate to the success that I want to be, where, you know, we didn't have to deal with that. But all I can tell you, I'm trying to give you advice on how to deal with it. The most important thing you can do is like reset and try not to feel negative. The negativity just snowballs with you, where one thing can turn to another, can turn to another. Mm-hmm. I think a reality check, a perspective check, whatever way you do that, some people write it down, some people talk on the phone and get it all out, some people do a variety of things to just shift the mindset. It's as corny as it sounds, looking around your life and saying thank you for all the things that you do have, and then trusting yourself. I used to say to you when you were younger a lot, because we moved a lot and you went through a lot of changes and then all of this stuff that happened with social media, and I would say everything's gonna be okay. Sometimes it's as simple as saying everything is gonna be okay and I trust myself. Those are two things that are very, very comforting. Mm-hmm. And I would say another really important thing is to not hide from life, is don't use it as an excuse to, like, as you say, rot in your bed or hide out, or there's no, like, I tend to go, oh, like, just shut it off, like, shut it down, turn off your phone, don't look at this, like your dad will say, don't look at the comments, you know, none of that's very realistic. I think that the only way to get through it is through it, and you have to just try to shift the mood and recognize the pattern. So for you, your pattern is...
Yeah, what's my pattern? Tell
your pattern, well, and everyone has a different pattern, but your pattern is that when you don't have a whole bunch of stuff on the books and you're not like really super busy and your social life kind of goes quiet for a few days, meaning everybody's just doing their thing, living their lives, all of a sudden you don't have a lot of those external stimulating sources where you don't necessarily have like a really demanding schedule. You don't have like your phone's not blowing up every 5 seconds with conflicts and drama and tea with your friends. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? And that is a time when you get older, you take comfort in those times. It doesn't make you feel nervous or vulnerable. You try to like bask in them. And I think A, try to do that. B, try not to let you have a habit of letting the highs go high and the lows go low. And I think that's part of being young, is like when things are great and you're super jam-packed and busy, you feel it distracts you.
Well, that's what I was gonna say with these comments, is that like it usually doesn't bother me for like multiple reasons, but also because when I'm looking at them, I like to stay really busy, where I was looking at the same comments this past weekend, but this past weekend I was like in Palm Springs with my dad and brother, like doing a bunch of fun stuff, watching tennis, and like wasn't like chronically online to think about it. Versus when I don't have things to distract myself, I just have to like actually deal with the shit.
And you know what that is an indication of? I think everybody's guilty of this, is that when you're not busy with real life people, and you're not like out actually doing things among the living and like the in-person situations, mm-hmm. you're looking at your phone, which a lot of people do. The majority of people are doing that. And it can like all of a sudden just flip the whole mood. And
so true.
And what you realize is when you're out actually living and you're doing things, which is kind of what I said, which is to like, don't rot, don't go hide, don't expect the tides to turn. The tides turn when you go out and you soak up energy at some, everything I say sounds so hokey, but when you, it's true. Like when you really stay busy and you go out and do things with people, you realize A, how small the world is, B, how small you are and your life is, and how unimportant. Imagine like you're out living your whole life and you're doing things, even if it's the simple things in life, and there's somebody sitting on their phone rotting somewhere saying something mean and hateful to you, because for what, right? They've never met you, they don't know you, they're mad at you for something that has nothing to do with even them. It just kind of have to break it down that way.
I know, but yeah.
At the bottom. And
But I wasn't distracted, which is why, like, yesterday I was in such a bad mood. And then I, like, woke up reading this stuff because I didn't, like, have... Well, I do kind of need to go to school and stuff today. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, kind of. It's either... I feel like the option is either you just shake it off and you go out and do your thing and get back to life and kind of reality check yourself and go, it's just a mood. We're all allowed bad moods. Mm-hmm. Our hormones are changing. Our moods are swinging. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff. It's very normal. You're not going to feel great all the time. You need to relieve yourself of that for the rest of your life, is expecting that you're going to be in a good mood 7 days a week. That's not true. Realistic. When you go through times when you're feeling really funky.
Yeah.
And then you snap
just,
out
like,
of it.
When I feel funky, I hate that word. That's such a mom word to use. Yeah. When I feel funky, I think I really let it affect me. Like, I'll like really embrace it. Which
I guess
I don't know.
The other part, this is gonna also sound harsh. I say a few harsh things. A, no one's thinking about you and really caring about you. So when you look at somebody's comment or somebody sends you a vile DM, because we've seen it all, you have to remember that the second that person puts their phone down or they're going back to their lives, you made the choice to read the comments mm-hmm. and read the DMs, but that doesn't mean that they get to, I mean, you talk about in the episode that came out yesterday about like giving people the power. When you give them the power to affect you, imagine if you were your best friend watching that happen. Like, imagine if somebody DM'd me and said, you're ugly and you're a terrible mother. And I told you that, you just laughed because you're like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. Like, why would that bother you? Yeah. You know that it's not true.
That's so
you're
true.
A good mom. Why? Like, who cares about this loser?
That's so
like
true.
At the end of the day, you kind of have to start giving yourself your own advice and go, what a loser. What? But honestly, what kind of a loser DMs and comments hate to somebody on the internet? With all, there's lots of them. There's thousands of losers.
Oh, trust me, I know.
But that's what puts good people in a whole other stratosphere. Like, good people are out doing
you're
good.
Right.
Good people are out making good things happen. Good people are making the people around them good. They're contributing. They're caring. They're sensitive. They're thinking. There's a whole bunch of idiots out there that are mean.
Yeah.
And maybe that, maybe I shouldn't call them idiots. Maybe they're suffering.
Maybe they're smart, Mom.
No, I wouldn't say that they're smart. I would say that, like, if you really want to be empathetic, you can say that they're suffering. But a lot of them are not suffering. They're just mean.
So and true.
And you have to isolate yourself from them. You know what's wild? I watched, or a long time ago, I read this interview with J-Lo. I know she's old like me, but I have always thought of this, is somebody said, like, how do you deal with hate comments? And she said, I could release like a song and or a movie and it would get 100 reviews. 99 of those 100 reviews are positive, and then one review says that I'm terrible, it was awful, I suck, it's awful.
That's
the one thing that you focus
on.
Yeah,
because that's validating your self-doubt.
100%.
That's what I'm saying, that wow, I'm having a full circle moment right now. That is why they hit me so hard this morning, because in the past few weeks, I've been feeling very good. I've been working out. I've been going out and having fun and all these different things, really living my life. And in the past few days, I've been like in bed, not working out, not feeling good about myself, not making huge strides that I'm addicted to. And I read the same comments that I read a week ago, but this one was just like, oh, you look really fat recently. And like, stop. No, you can't laugh because it hurt
my
feelings.
I know, but it's.
I know, but it just validates that self-doubt in you. That's not the one comment that I read.
Oh, it's...
There are some very mean ones, but
that's
you know what I mean.
That's why this, when you said I read comments, I was like, on what? Where? How? Like, I feel like I kind of keep an eye on it, and I'm like,
no,
what?
No, it's in this Q&A that I put for the podcast.
Oh.
And someone, like, just went off on me.
Really?
And I was like, damn, okay.
Well...
But
as they say, no,
like making this actually like a point is that these comments and when things are going wrong in your life, or like, let's say you're in high school and someone says like, your outfit's bad, like, and you felt like that, that's why you're insecure about it. It's just validating that self-doubt, which is when it actually hits you. But if you stay above that and, like, work on your self-doubt and maybe self-pity,
then... Can we, like, maybe take a different angle with it and not make it about... Because it's very hard to empower yourself all the time. It's really hard to be like, I'm going to take that mean person, their comment to me, whether it was in person or online, and I'm going to turn it into empowering myself. Let's instead... very simply realize what kind of a person says something like that and where that comes from. Because I just had a flashback to when you were in kindergarten, you were really into dressing up. You've always wanted to dress up. And now you have a place where you can do it and you like get praised for it. But when you were little, you would want to wear really pretty dresses to school. We would go out for pizza and you were bringing it. Like, you were always elevating your looks. And loved it. You were the queen. You had every Costco ball dress. You had every like fancy dress we could find you. And you were always getting dressed up for barbecues and whatever. Okay. There was a girl in your kindergarten class.
I remember that.
Abby.
I remember that.
And she picked on you for everything. And Abby wore, like, you know, sports shorts and tank tops and t-shirts like most kids. And I know that she was very clearly jealous or threatened. Your confidence made her uncomfortable. Your outfits made her uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You got bangs. She's like, what did you do to your hair? Like, what kind of a kindergartner says that?
I'll never forget when she said that to me.
Now, meanwhile, you can go, she's so mean. I'm the victim. I need to, like, do whatever I can. And you were a victim. You were a little kid. That's tough to navigate. But not much changes to now as a 20-year-old when people say these things. Not everybody's going to like you. And a lot of times, if you're doing things in your own life, this goes for everybody listening, there's just going to be things about you that people don't like, that rub people the wrong way. And it's not about you in the slightest. It's simply about how they are feeling about themselves. So when somebody says something mean to you in real life or virtually, it is 100% coming from something negative inside of them. Think about the times, let's be honest, we've all had sessions where we've talked trash, we've ridiculed what somebody, you know, we've been like, what was she wearing? Or can you believe this? Or whatever. We do it for celebrities. We talk about their red carpet looks and whatever, but we've all talked shit about people. And that doesn't come from a place of your self-confidence. It comes from a negative place.
Yeah,
and you just have to kind of, you can't give people so much credit for having an opinion that literally does not count or matter. Like, other people's opinions do not matter.
Wow. So I'm really, really happy that this worked out this way. And I went upstairs and talked about this with my mom, because she said to me when I walked upstairs in a really bad mood, she said, what can we do to make you feel better and feel more empowered? And I was like, I feel like we need to talk about this on the podcast, because hopefully it will help other people as well. That actually made me feel a lot better, Mama. Thank you. Yeah.
That's good.
I just feel like it's just such a, like, perspective shift of, I don't know.
What do you think the top three things are from this conversation that you feel better from?
Okay, number one, it made me feel better to think that when I'm judging people on the internet, it's like, it's a reflection of what I'm feeling about myself. I'm not actually judging the person. So that must be for other people with me. Number two is that we identified how I get addicted to, like, the highs and lows of life. That was my New Year's resolution this year, of trying to enjoy just the normal days of life and not being addicted to that. I feel like if you're in college, you can probably get addicted to that feeling too, of, like, getting addicted to, like, parties all the time and plans all the time and, like, all of that. And so being able to just, like, sit with yourself in college, I think, is a big strength to have, and that's how I feel just being able to sit with myself in life. And lastly, it's funny because I made a video about a podcast and a video about the 20 things that I've learned in my 20 years of living, and the last one is that everything's going to be okay. And now that I'm listening to myself say that, basically all those 20 things I learned from my mom and my dad, so it's nice to have the person who taught me that right next to me right now. But I think just getting back to the fact that everything's going to be okay, and that no matter what, life moves, and if you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
That's right, Ferris Bueller. Can I say one more thing? Sorry, I know we're making this long.
No, it's so funny. My friend Michelle called me yesterday, and she says the funniest things, but one thing she'll always say is like, can I just say one thing? And she said it to her friend Sebastian, and Sebastian, who's like her guy friend, was like, you never just say one thing.
I know.
It's never just one thing that you're saying.
Yeah.
Just say it. You don't need to preface it. You're never totally going to say one thing.
But yes, just we say all one have thing, our Mom. Things to like our preface statements. Like your dad always says, well, I'd like to say...
Yeah.
What I would like to say is something that I did say to you when we first started talking in the kitchen a couple hours ago is that being young is really hard and tiring, and you have to be tough throughout life. Being tough is exhausting, and being strong is really, really, really tiring. But it's our strength that we take the most pride in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people being strong that we kind of praise the most, and it's the people that get through the stuff, and it's what you take the most self pride in when you look back on your life and you think about the easiest times. You don't look back and really take any pride in it. You're just like, those were easy times, and maybe you take comfort in them. But it's when you can get through the hard days, which every single person has, that you look, or the hard times or the hard years, that you can look back and go, but I got through it. So when you do that reflecting and you are feeling scared about the future, trust yourself. You will get through it. You're going to look back and you're going to say, I was strong, I was tough, I persevered, it sucked at times, but now I'm here and I got through it and I feel really proud of myself.
So true. Facts, Mom. Facts. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Mama, for coming on my podcast. If you guys liked her advice, like I did, where can people find you, Mama, and your mom talk?
Oh, Sarah G. Zeiler is my TikTok.
Yay.
But thanks for having me.
Of course, I love you. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I hope that it helped you, and I am excited to talk to you guys next week. Again, this is the I'll Be Your Sister podcast. You guys can listen to it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now. I'm Ellie Zeiler, my mom, Sarah Zeiler, and we will see you next week.
Bye.